Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
The Book of Mormon, was it translated from gold plates or merely golden plates? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM, as we look at a very interesting, what I think may be a shift in Mormon history. Now, Eric, you and I were on our way to a speaking engagement, and you brought with you, to read along the way, the October 2011 issue of Ensign.
Yes, we do read their material.
We do read their material, and we noticed something as we're reading through these articles, that a lot of the articles had to deal specifically with the Book of Mormon story, but there was something that stuck out. And that is, instead of consistently referring to the plates from which the Book of Mormon came as being gold plates, it looks like they've gone out of their way to make sure that the reader understands that they were not gold, but rather golden, referring to the color. Now, in this first article here, the Prophet Joseph Smith, translator of the Book of Mormon, on page 6, it says, "The Book of Mormon, by contrast, was recorded by ancient prophets in the New World on metal plates, abridged primarily by one prophet, Mormon, hence the title, in the 5th century AD, into one record on golden plates." Now, they say metal, but they don't say what kind of metal.
I think that's an important point, because in the 21st century, we don't speak that way. Now, if they were quoting something that said metal plates, I can understand, but this is their original writing. We don't have an author for who wrote this article. But, Bill, when we're talking about metal, I think usually we're pretty specific with what the metal is. For instance, if I'm holding an American Eagle in my hand, and I say I'm holding this metal coin in my hand, well, if you don't know that American Eagles are made of gold, you have to ask the question, what's it made of?
Well, that's the question I want to ask the Mormon Church. If you're going to say that the plates are not really made of gold, or we're not made of gold, then please tell us, what metal were they made of? Because whatever metal they choose, it has to be one that's durable enough to sit in the ground for about 1,400 years and still be usable after that time. Because remember, Joseph Smith supposedly dug these plates up out of the ground. They were in a stone box in a very harsh climate, I might add, in North America, Northeast United States. And these plates are supposed to endure this harsh climate for all these many years, and he's still supposed to be able to read characters off it as well as to be able to turn the pages. Okay, Mormon Church, if you don't want to admit that they were gold, then tell us, please, we're waiting. What kind of metal were they made of?
What, Bill, would be a possible reason for them to make this so nebulous, not to be as clear? Because traditionally, and you've done this many times, asked LDS on the streets what they thought the plates were made of, and they typically, right, they say
typically,
they're gold.
They will say they're gold, and I will say, are you saying they're made of pure gold or solid gold? And they'll say, yes, of course. Why do they say that? Now, I asked that question before, what metal are they made of? It's not that there aren't Mormons that have come up with an answer. And of course, as we've talked about before on this show, we've talked about the fact that they have come up with this idea that the plates were made of a Central American alloy called tumbaga, which is primarily copper and gold. In other words, they know that there has to be some kind of gold content in these plates if they are going to withstand the many years that they were buried in the ground.
So the main reason for them to move away is because gold is a heavier substance?
Right. You have to somehow make the story work with Joseph Smith digging the plates up out of the ground, putting them under his arm, carrying them for a distance of 3 miles to his home, at times being attacked by people wanting to steal them, running at the top of his speed away from these attackers, all carrying gold plates, which, of course, as we've discussed before, would have weighed about 200 pounds if they were the size Joseph Smith claimed, 6 inches by 8 inches by 6 inches. I think there's some Mormons that are realizing that story's pretty fantastic, and they've already blown it as far as saying that God gave them supernatural strength, because if that's really the case, then why are the boys at BYU trying so hard to get the plates light enough for Joseph Smith to manage? They wouldn't have to do that if they really believed that there was supernatural strength involved. But here's the point. When we look at this Ensign magazine, as I mentioned before, there's a concerted effort to change this story. Because over and over, they use the phrase golden, not just one or two times.
How many?
15 times we find in this particular issue.
And how many times did they use the term gold plates?
Well, I found one reference, at least in the front.
And it was just in a description of an article.
It's a description of Jeffrey Holland's article called A Testimony, A Covenant, and a Witness, where it says, I testify of this book as surely as if I had, with the three and the eight witnesses, seen the plates of gold. So here we have, it's Jeffrey Holland saying it. Now, you know, Jeffrey Holland has probably many times referred to them as gold plates. Other Mormon leaders have referred to them as gold plates. Well, now they're trying to make it sound like, well, that's not really what they meant. I don't think so. In this one article that was in What Did the Golden Plates Look Like, written by Kirk Hendrickson, which a longer version is supposed to be originally published by the Neil Maxwell Institute as How Witnesses Describe the Gold Plates, Journal of Book of Mormon Studies, Volume 10, Number 1, pages 16 to 21. Hendrickson says, neither Joseph nor any of the witnesses said that the ancient record was made from solid gold, nor did they use the term gold plates or plates of gold. All Joseph said is that they had the appearance of gold. And that's true, but Hendrickson is incorrect when he says that the witnesses never said that. At least we know David Whitmer did. David Whitmer, when he was interviewed, it was said of him, Mr. Whitmer said that he had often handled the identical gold plates which Mr. Smith received from the hand of the angel. He said it was of pure gold, and part of the book was sealed up solid. At least in this interview, he seems to have said that. But let me point this out. Page 8, the record, this is the Ensign, October 2011, the record engraved on golden plates. Page 9, formally testified that the angel Moroni showed them the golden plates. We go on in this edition of the Ensign. We find again and again the phrase golden plates being used. For instance, on page 18, there's a caption under a picture of Mormon, I believe it is, and it says, he began combining the most important stories from all the records into a set of metal plates. And again, if they're going to say they're metal, they need to tell us what kind of metal they were.
Page 23, it says, on the evening of September 21st, 1823, the angel Moroni appeared to young Joseph Smith and told him of the golden plates.
Now, you see, that is even a little misleading, because if you really read the story for what it actually says, in verse 34 of Joseph Smith's history, section 1 says, he said there was a book deposited written upon gold plates.
Yeah.
So they're not even according to Mormon scripture, he doesn't say golden.
Well, and again, it looks like there might be some kind of a concerted effort to change the word here, but that's what's in the original. That's what the Joseph Smith history says. Why are they moving away from gold plates? It seems almost like a political move if they're trying to get rid of the weight of the plates.
Well, the October 2011 issue on page 22 says ancient prophets, historians, and leaders engrave their testimonies in history on golden plates. So again and again, we find this. In fact, if you keep on going throughout this edition, it's like we're saying, this is a concerted effort. They are really trying to get this thought across to people. And I think what they're trying to do is to get away from this notion that the plates could have really been made of gold.
Well, on page 77, it says, who else saw the golden plates? And it talks about those Book of Mormon witnesses, you know, the three witnesses and the eight witnesses who held them in their hands. I mean, very clear that... from the quote that you gave, that that they use the term gold, not golden.
Well, like you say on page 77, bound sheets of metal, gold in color. Gold in color. So if you have a Latter-day Saint try to argue that the plates were not really made of gold, even though that's what the angel said, then you need to ask them, well, tell me then, what were the plates made of? Because even the argument that they were made of tumbaga, which is a Central American alloy, but that's going to cause some problems with some Mormons, because some Mormons don't believe that the Book of Mormon lands were in Central America.
Right.
You have many Mormons that believe that this Book of Mormon lands are actually located in North America, called the Heartland Theory, or the Heartland Model. And tumbaga is not located in North America. That's a Central American alloy. So if you're going to go with the argument that they were made of tumbaga, in other words, an alloy of copper and gold, then what you're basically saying is you believe that the Book of Mormon lands are in Central America. Now, this is going to be interesting, because if the Mormon Church is going to go with this metal, okay, instead of gold, and if they're going to start arguing, now remember, for right now, it seems to be just the Mormon apologists, the people from BYU that use this argument. When they start saying this from general conference pulpits, that means the Mormon Church will then be making a stand as to where they believe the Book of Mormon lands were actually located. This could cause them some problems.
Well, and it ought to be pointed out too, Bill, that at general conferences in the past, we don't hear anything about these two different theories. This is not discussed officially at all. There's no official statement to say that the lands were here or they were Central America. They allow this controversy to continue on, I think, because by taking one position, they will alienate a number of their people.
I think you're absolutely right. I know Glenn Beck probably won't go for that because he holds to a Heartland model. We also have Rod Meldrum holds to a Heartland model.
Sure.
There are a lot of Latter-day Saints that I've talked to personally that hold to a Heartland model and do not believe in the Central American theory. There are some Mormons that are all over the map as far as where the Book of Mormon lands were located. That's an in-house debate for them. And you're right. Thomas Monson could clear this all up
absolutely
in one sentence at the next general conference, but I think you're right also. I doubt if he's going to do that. This is not something I think Mormon leadership wants to step in. But they could. You never know. I mean, they've surprised me in the past.
And maybe, Bill, because they're doing this golden word here, maybe this is a move toward the Central American theory.
It could quite possibly be. I'm not sure at this point, but definitely it looks suspicious that 15 times in one issue, the plates are mentioned as merely being golden or metal.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that has eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.